signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, the 11th of May, 2011. By the way, off the website, thank you, Mr. Otero, for posting this for me. A return to the gold standard by the United States within the next 5 years now seems likely, because that move would help the nation solve a variety of economic, fiscal, and monetary ills. Who said that? Steve Forbes. He predicted that during an exclusive interview this week with Human Events. He says, what seems astonishing today could become conventional wisdom in a short period of time. Geez, it's kind of like taking two steps forward and three steps back. We've been there, and we already did that, and look how successful it was. Astonishing? No, I find it astonishing that we've had the federal credit people for almost 100 years. He says such a move would help stabilize the value of the dollar, restore confidence among foreign investors in U.S. government bonds, and discourage reckless federal spending, the media mogul and former presidential candidate said. The United States used gold as the basis for valuing the U.S. dollar successfully for roughly 180 years. Wrong. It was silver. Try running for president again, probably in about 2024. You might be up to speed. Now, it's true we did have a gold standard, but that was not monetary. Silver was the monetary basis, the real money, supposedly reflecting the receipts that are now called Federal Reserve notes. You know, I find this rather fascinating, guys. You know, this big showdown, this big battle that gave the news media the excuse to eat up an inordinate amount of time talking about the Democrats and the Republicans battling because we have to come up with a budget that everybody can live with. We understand that there's too much debt and not enough money to go around, so we've got to make some cuts. The Republicans wanted 60-some billion dollars. Well, they settled for $31 billion. Do you know how much in actual cuts that they made? Only a half a billion, less than $500 million. And now they're going to raise the debt limit. So we did absolutely nothing. We didn't really cut anything out of the budget. And by the way, we need another $1.5 trillion, $2 trillion to raise the debt limit because we're out of control and we will not do what's morally, ethically, and legally correct to do. Gutless wonders in the district of criminals.
Amen.
Duda, duda.
John, if we go to a gold standard, that means that they have to take gold off the stock market. You can't buy gold stocks anymore if we go to a gold-backed currency.
That's right. Our currency can't be a commodity.
Well, that's right.
I got news for everybody. There would not be a global order going on, the global orderist, the global elite trying to form the world government, you know, just to make it easy for trade and let's just have one currency and, you know, all that razzmatazz. It would be, like I said earlier, guys, life could be demystified and simplified to the point that we could actually enjoy our lives in full measure and the gift that's been given. And some would argue from what quarter it was given. But we could live our lives and enjoy ourselves and enjoy this short amount of time we're dancing on this little dirt ball in a universe without end. Simply amazing. Rodney, I'm not going to bring you up right now because we're coming up on break and I'm treading water right now trying to stretch us out to break. Guys, Joyce, seriously, I want to get into this and I read this. Finally found the case, nothing short of amazing. All codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities only. Somebody tell this to the guys with the shiny badges and the guns. The agencies that were created that have no foundation in law. Well, their law, because it comes out of their mouth. Kind of like a drunk when he overdrinks and he has to maybe expunge a little bit.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, we are back. Where did I leave off here? I didn't leave off with him. I need to go to him. Okay. Yeah. Rodney in Illinois. Hello, Rodney.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hello, Peter in the East, and Joyce, I'm sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
A couple weeks ago, I called in about being an exhibitor at this expo in Springfield, Missouri.
Right.
And there was a question of... an application for a license to sell stuff.
Stuff, yes.
Okay, well, I got the application, and it's really not an application. It's simply titled Group Sales Events, City License Requirements. Please return prior to event. And there is no signature line, but under owner's name or business name, no, name you registered under for event, I just printed my name and put all rights reserved following that. It wasn't really a signature line. Now, that aside, it is my considered opinion. Oh, my wife's calling me. Let me get away from that. It is my considered opinion that much, if not all of what we're talking about on Wednesdays with Joyce and Peter is a matter of a religious exercise. And I submit the maxim spoken by writer of Scripture who said, "He whom you submit yourself to obey is your master." And it appears that much of what is debated and discussed is obedience. You know,
voluntary.
Yeah, but it is indelibly marked on the conscience of most Americans that they have a duty to obey, and I would submit that which is marked on their conscience is in error, and they are in fact endeavoring reluctantly or wholeheartedly to obey something that is not worthy of submission.
That's why they call it the mark of the beast.
And they simply got it wrong. Now, let me tell you about my attorney. My attorney walks on water. Not only does he walk on water, the wind and the sea obey him, not the other way around.
You'd have a heck of a hard time trying to prove that in one of their courts.
But it's not their court that I'm worried about, John. The court that I'm worried about is the court that my attorney has credentials to represent me in. Now, if I'm successful...
Your attorney being God, of course.
The Christ.
Yeah, okay.
Now...
Did you ever see the movie, I think that Rocky Mountain High, the singer John Denver was in, Oh God?
No, I did not see it.
It's a cute movie. Terry Garr and he were in that movie. And in the movie, God reveals himself to this store manager. He was a manager of a local supermarket. And George Burns played God. And here he comes. You know, a little hobbly, little old man, and he's God. And he was trying to prove what he was saying. People were trying to say he was nuts, and he says, "I'm not." And God showed up in court as a witness for him. But the only problem was that when they played back the recordings, the tape recordings of the procedures in court, there was nothing but blanks.
Well, John... In that court, my God is the judge, not the witness.
But my point is, and this all sounds fine and dandy, and I won't disagree with you, Rodney, but what I'm saying to you is simply this. You walk in with a God defense, they're going to do their best to send you straight to hell.
Well...
You will never win a case. And Joyce and Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but... I remember Horowitz, wasn't that the guy that got his marching orders because a dog was talking to him?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Did that defense help him out? Did that dog actually talk to him?
No. No, they gave him the 5151 in that psychological examination.
Yeah. But you see, and I'm not ridiculing you here, Rodney. I'm just simply making a point. I understand what you're made of. And what law you are going to follow, but you're going to have repeated problems. If I walk into court and I walk in and my key witness is God, I better be able to produce the witness in the flesh, which ain't going to be easy to do.
Well,
you see the problem?
Well, I understand your question. I don't see it necessarily as a problem.
Well, and you know, from your viewpoint, you don't see it as a problem, and essentially you're correct. But what I'm saying to you is there is going to be a problem if you use the God defense. That is where the problem is. See, because these people, you know, people, gosh, I've been down this road so many times. Maybe I missed this signpost. The problem is that we understand where morals and ethics come from. This is what mystifies me about agnostics, or more importantly, atheists. You know, I'll ask him a very simple series of questions. Do you think it's right to do this? Well, of course not. Well, do you think it's right to do that? Well, of course not. And what I'll do is I'll read off a few of the Ten Commandments. And they'll go, well, yeah, well, I guess I'm down with that philosophy. Okay, great. You're down with that philosophy. Where do you think that philosophy came from? There is going to be people, Rodney, and you've heard it, that they'll argue, well, this wasn't a Christian nation. It didn't start because these people were deist or they were, I don't know, they were, 38-degree Masons or whatever the case may be. As if being a Mason back then meant that you were proclaiming God and really working for the devil, knowingly working for the devil. This is a created situation. This is machinations that they have set up. And I would love, man, I'd love to walk into court and say, Your Honor, I am calling one witness and one witness only, God Almighty. And watch the vinyl suck up off that guy's chair. What would really be amazing if God did actually appear.
Well, I would submit that the man, the supreme being of which I speak, mm-hmm. has promised wisdom to those who ask. And wisdom comes in many facets, John. And they come on a moment-by-moment basis, a case-by-case basis. But if you have not laid the groundwork whereby that wisdom that you have prayed for day after day after day can come to play, then it's fruitless after the fact, you know, to expect it to show up. You know, we're talking about a man who spoke in parables, such as there was a man who went out to sow. Now, that sounds ridiculous to most people, John. I mean, the man who went out to sow, who starts out a treatise on law that way? You know, but these are, you know, he was getting at the fundamentals mm-hmm. of reality. And he was all too familiar with the struggle that we're engaged in, evil. I mean, he's the one that threw out the money changers, John.
Yep.
You know good and well, as all who are listening, that he knew good and well who were the enemy. The Pharisees are alive and well today.
Yep.
He threw them out, and they nailed him to a cross.
Yep.
For that. And I simply, you know, submit that looking to that man for wisdom day after day after day will produce a fruit that will produce in the day of need. And you know, this is in you know I don't want to speak in glowing generalities, but it's a fact. You know, there is no one-size-fits-all. There is no silver bullet. But wisdom is all-inclusive. Wisdom has a way of manifesting in the time of need. You know, I'm sure Joyce and Pete can say there were times when a truth came to their mind when they were in research, and they wondered, where in the world did that come from?
Just popped up out of the blue. There it is. You know, and Rodney, I've said this, you know, many Christians will tell me, well, I read the Bible. Well, how many times you read it? You know, I remember, like it was yesterday, years ago, talking to a guy that was in McDonald's, and he was poring over his Bible, and he was sweating, and you could tell the man was really agitated. And he was walking around with a massive guilt complex, and I could see that, and I just simply asked him, I said, do you believe that God forgives your sins if you ask him to? And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, then why don't you try forgiving yourself of your past sins, pick up today with where you want to go, and I guarantee you, your life is going to be a whole lot easier. Hang on.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product. Things change, the better they get. Do you think that Peter Gabriel would have been that much appreciated still staying with the band Genesis? And the only person who understood that is the guy sitting at my board. Yeah. At any rate, where did we leave off here? Rodney?
The sledgehammer.
Yes, sir. I understand, and you have called into this program numerous times, and I appreciate and value your input, and the points that you brought up today are salient and valid points. We have a problem here, though. These are people that are making, as Joyce has said many times, what is the law? The law is in their mouth. And when you're dealing with scoundrels such as this, you can nail them dead to rights. You can have the universal beam of truth burning on their little craniums, and it wouldn't make any difference to them, because they will not see it, they will not heed it. So it looks like it's pretty much up to us to put the house back in order.
Well, in the meantime, John, I often think about the French resistance during the World War II. Did those who were a member of that resistance, did they walk around with a placard on their hat that said, "I am a member of the French resistance"? No. They blended in, and they bided their time. They fulfilled what they felt was their duty, and they carried on. And this is my MO.
I understand.
I do what I have to. I wear my seatbelt, John. Do I enjoy it? No, I simply wear my seatbelt because I consider myself a member of the resistance.
I understand.
It's my MO. It's my cover.
And you know what I do? If I feel a need because of road conditions, crazy people out on the road just not paying attention, or for whatever reason, I like to keep my option as to whether I am or I am not, because it's a law. And I ride motorcycles too, and until the day that they make me wear a crash helmet and seat belts and put airbags on the motorcycle and do all that other stuff, I'm going to use that as kind of like a guideline, my option, whether to wear it or not. When I was taking flying lessons, I never got into that airplane without buckling that seatbelt before takeoff because, well, flying an airplane is a little different than driving a car. You know, you don't hit air pockets and drop 300 feet when you're driving down a solid road. Now, there are reasons and times to do that. But that's interesting that you brought that up, Rodney, that you're willing just to blend in and look like one of the other people without giving them cause for pause to pull you over and interview you. Rodney, thank you for your call, and you have a good week, sir.
Can I wrap up with just one more comment, please,
yeah.
John?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Christ said, who of you who has a son, when his son would ask for a loaf of bread, would give him a snake or a rock? That's ludicrous. Your son asks for a loaf of bread, you know, what loving father would give them a rock or a serpent? Now, the Christ said, you being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more would the Father in heaven give you wisdom to those who would, and good gifts to those who ask? And I would just implore, ask for wisdom every day. Every day, ask for wisdom and see if he will not give it to you. That's
Rodney.
It.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate it.
That's right. I believe you say, my people suffer for lack of knowledge.
Boy, the informed electorate, call it what you will. We have a lot of people that are not really asking the right questions. They're not considering the right options. They're not, and they must. But how do we get them? Just because we say they got it? Well, until they're squeezed a little bit more and they have no place to go and suicide looks like the only option as an out. Maybe at that point in time, they'll seriously consider suicide being kind of scary. It takes a lot of guts to kill yourself, by the way. It's really not the act of a coward. It is really the act, and some would argue this, it's really an act of the ultimate courage. Because ingrained in us is this fight for survival. And we will do anything to survive. That's an inbred instinct. A lot of people will say, guys, that, committing suicide is the ultimate cowardice act. That's the ultimate ejection off the planet. Really? You ever contemplated suicide? Have you ever seriously thought about it, the courage that it would take to end your own life? Maybe when people get to that point, they'll look for other options. I hope not. Like I said before, life does not have to be this difficult. I want some time to enjoy it. It's my life, it's not theirs. This is my time. Not 1 minute belongs to them. By order of whatever...
By what authority do they claim to be your master?
By what authority? Thank you. Perfect way to put it. Okay, we'll continue the calls. 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Joyce, I do want to get to this finally found the case. I don't let me get out of here without you going over this. But let's clear the phone calls. Mark in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Mark. I hope you're in queue. Yes, you are. There you are. Mark?
Let's put it this way. A story of equal importance to you, Steve Forbes, Return to the Gold Standard story you read to us. There's a story floating around that they want to put water on the commodities futures exchange. Can you imagine what this will lead to the point that water fluctuates the same as oil is manipulated per barrel? Isn't that the perfect interlude into privatizing all our municipal water facilities? There's money in them there hills. Now let's get to something normal here. Back to what Joyce and Peter and you were talking about before. Neighbor had a boat. Let's see if we can't get out of this somehow. Neighbor had a boat. Underneath it, he had a small cabin. It was nothing but a couch. His tax assessor told him if he put a porta-potty, which he had a porta-potty, that was from his last child that he had. It was no bigger than, I don't know, bigger than a milk carton, but not by a whole lot. He said, if you'll put that in there, you can claim it as a second home. There are certain amnesty, for lack of a better term, when it comes to property. If you consider that a second home, let's say you got a pickup with a camper on the back of it, or even just a topper, and you throw that in, and you claim that as a second home, would there be an advantages to that?
Hmm.
Do you want me to answer the question?
Certainly, Peter. I threw it out there.
Basically, what you have to do is this has happened before, so you have to go into tax cases, okay, or administrative cases, and read what the ruling is. And what you'll do is, where you think it's found in the code, that section of the code, you go into the law library, and under that section of the code, there'll be a lot of cases that will be mentioned, and you can read about them and see how they ruled.
Well, you see where I'm going with this. It would make it more difficult if you did claim it, and it was identified as a home legally. Whether second, third, don't really matter. It's still your home.
Okay, but Mark, what I'm missing here is the point to this.
The point to this, they can't tow it. They can't steal it.
No, but they can tax it and tax it and tax it because you've now turned it into a taxable property.
Look at this, folks. How many folks are living out of their car right now? I'm trying to find a way to keep these folks at least with a... Now, it might be a semi-roof over their head, but at least it's a roof.
Not one of their choosing.
Well, you study the law, learn the UCC, learn how to file for a Lodium title, take it out of the ownership of the state, claim it as yours, put it under a UCC filing, and then you can live in it, and you don't have to worry about it being taxed and taxed and taxed.
What's wrong with what's mine is mine is mine, and what's yours is yours is yours?
Because everything's in a trust, John. That's what Joyce and I have been trying to tell you. Your wife is in a trust. Your car's in a trust. Your dog's in a trust. Your house is in a trust. The roads are in a trust. The market's in a trust.
It is in a trust, Peter, but there are legalities that have to be followed to take access or remove you from your house that you don't have with any other criteria or trust that you own. A house does have a certain amnesty to it that these other entities don't have. That's why I was trying to go down this road.
That's right, but you got to know what they are, and that requires studying and learning, and that's what people don't seem to want to do.
Well,
there's a remedy out there for every problem you have. All you got to do is study and find it.
It's
just that simple.
Joyce, I don't know if it's they don't want to do it. Is I think a lot of people don't know how to do it. Now, now hold on a second.
Okay.
What Peter said is what you do is you go to the law library, you take that case site, and then you'll see all the cases below it. You'll get the code, whatever, and you'll see all the suits, all the cases, whatever, that was hit a court of law. A lot of people don't even know how to do that.
Well, the first thing you have to do is learn the language, because legalese is a whole different language.
Uh-huh.
All you basically have to do is read a law dictionary, and then you have at least a clue as to what you're looking at. And you don't even have to go to a law library. All you have to do, if you have a computer, is write case sites for or cases relating to, and it'll do all the shepherdizing for you, bring every single case up, and then you have to sit down and read them, because that's what I tell everybody. Reading a case not only gives you the remedy, but it also tells you what didn't work, so now you know not to use that argument.
Okay, well, see if you can limit some of my time with your legalese expertise. Does this opinion have merit?
Well, you find that in the holding of a case.
Hey, you think
because it always says the court held.
He's looking.
The most important thing, you read the case, is the holding.
No, he's asking you for your opinion. Does he have a valid point?
Of course. Except the courts will not accept any case rulings from before all the perversion of the law. You have to, every case, the only cases they will accept are the ones that were adjudicated under their method of law that exists today.
So they'll throw out...
Unless you special plead for a common law remedy, and then you can bring in any common law case.
And how amenable are they to that? I wouldn't think that they would be.
Well, if you set the court. See, you set the court. If you set a common law court, whether they're amenable or not, doesn't matter. That's what you've set. That's the way you've gone into the court. You've used all the rules for that court, and they have to accept it. If they don't, then you have the right to appeal.
Well, and you got a damn good basis for an appeal.
That's right.
All right, Mark.
Right, the right to appeal, living on the street. I got it. I understand legalese now.
I have the right to live under a bridge.
Y'all forget it.
Yeah, what are you talking about? You're going to take me to jail. Okay, take me to jail. At least I get three hots and a cot.
See you later.
All right, thanks. Appreciate your call, Mark. That's an interesting question. But by the way, when he was talking about, you know, abodes and places to live and this, that, and the other, I'm thinking, yeah, how do they take your house? Well, there's foreclosure proceedings. Don't pay your property tax. You'll have the city all over you. They're going to get their tax, and they don't give a damn if they've got to sell your entire house to satisfy a couple of thousand, $3,000-$4,000 in taxes.
Did you ever notice they'll take your house, they'll sell it at a tax sale for, let's say, $60,000. You only own 20. You only owe 20, but they never give you the difference.
Isn't that amazing?
They managed to keep the steal it all.
I wonder if that just goes right into the judge's retirement funds.
Well, I'm sure it goes into some kind of slush fund somewhere.
I'm sure for greater purposes.
For the common good.
And
they happen to be the common folk.
Yeah. We're just the uncommon rabble-rousing. What am I trying to think of here?
We're just the means to their end. That's all we are.
But I was thinking trading with the enemy. Yeah. We are the enemy.
We're the enemy of the bankers. That means we're anything and the bankers, you know, make the law. And therefore... we're fighting our own enemy now. Why in good conscience are we supporting our enemies as well?
That's what
I can't figure out. If everybody knows the enemy is the bankers, why are we using banks?
You know, somebody the other day, and this was on actually a television program, and they were talking about this Obamacare. And opinions were being floated, and of course we know their argument that, well, we have the perfect right to do this under the Commerce Clause. But then I thought about this. If you think about it in these terms, what right does the federal government have to compel you for anything?
They don't.
And here's the deal, Joyce. Well, you know, they can't compel you to, you know, the government can't tell you that how to get your insurance and who you got to pay and mandating this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. They've already done this before. Social Security. That was supposed to be a little private little trust that you put your funds in, and government stuck a little money, and the employer stuck a little, and there's your retirement funds. You know, never to be touched, and it's going to sit there and accrue interest. Yeah, well, not really, because that means that if it was interest-bearing, you'd end up with then we're discussing kind of an IRA. But be that as it may, where were they when it was the Social Security? Go ahead.
That Social Security, which Joyce and I try and tell people to understand, that Social Security changed your status because of the words that were used in the document for your application, and you didn't challenge it. So when you don't challenge that kind of thing, that means that you agree with it and go along with it.
I can challenge a one-year-old not to poop their diapers, because I really hate changing diapers, but it ain't going to change the fact that that baby is going to poop in them diapers.
An application for Social Security doesn't equate with a baby, okay?
It's still poop to me. Now, that was a joke, Peter, and you ain't laughing. Come on, get with the program here.
if you reserved all your common law rights without prejudice on your Social Security application, then you're under the common law, and they can't with their fancy footwork and fancy words convert you into now a fiction owned by government because they're giving you old age insurance. You're paying for it. They ain't giving you anything.
Yeah. Melissa in Texas. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
I have a comment and then a question for Pete and Joyce, and I'll try to make it quick because I want to hear what Joyce has to say, too. At the very first of the show, John, you mentioned about when a judge walks in that we all have to stand up.
Yeah.
I remember hearing, I don't know how many years ago, but I don't know if anybody's heard this, but The whole idea was that he was carrying the Bible, and it was because he was carrying the Bible that people stood up in honor of God's word, not the judge.
Boy, has that been left out of the movies and history books.
No kidding.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense.
Yeah.
The whole irony of the thing is that the judges now think of themselves as the gods of that room, and they totally threw the real God out.
Well, that's just it. They may have carried the Bible in when we were functioning under common law, natural law, because it's God's law. So they may have been bringing the Bible in with them.
And Melissa,
but they're certainly not doing it now because we're living under man-made law. It has absolutely nothing to do with God.
And Melissa, I'm sure you've seen this before, that a lot of times they don't even use the Bible anymore. And the bailiff or whomever will speak the words, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?" And then stop right there. So help you what? So help you telephone pole?
So help me my Aunt Fanny.
There, something. You know, and
that's
what,
right.
Yeah,
that's
what am
right.
I swearing? What am I swearing to? You know,
that's right.
What standard am I trying to, you know, yeah. Anyhow,
okay.
Your question.
Okay, the question was, I understand that they're trying to pass a law right now that it's just as good as this one with carbon credits and taxing the very air that we breathe. They're trying to force a digital tracker on everyone's vehicle, everyone's mode of transportation, so that they can tax them by the mile on top of the taxes we already pay for
now,
the gas.
Now, that's not quite a law yet. They're still considering that, Melissa. But
well, if they do that,
yeah.
And Joyce, how do you get out of that?
Take a sticker, put your VIN number on it, but without prejudice, and stick it in your back window.
And then if you want to carry it even further, you form a group and you sue them as a group.
No. What you're saying is this is my private property. This is property that I've taken out of the trust.
So do I have to get the title of origin and all that stuff on this car?
What did I just tell you to do?
Just put the sign in the window. It's through open and notorious
notice.
It's
got to have the VIN number on it, Joyce.
Okay, well, you put the VIN number on it, then through open and notorious notice, you're stating it's your private property.
And then on top of the VIN number, you write without prejudice, and that's done.
As your private property, you don't have to obey any of these rules and regulations for federal people.
Okay, hold on here. Melissa brings up a point. I am not quite sure, and Peter, you said, okay, put a VIN number on there, but that changes nothing unless you have, and I think this is technically correct, unless you had the original equipment manufacturer certificate or title.
No, it's an open and notorious notice. They would have to rebut it, John.
All right. Okay.
So they would have to rebut it by producing what, John?
I don't know.
Manufacturer's certificate of origin.
Oh, well.
Because if they're gonna claim it, they got to claim it that they own it, and you gave it to them.
In fact, they consider your birth certificate a manufacturer's statement of origin, and that's the name
right.
register you under.
There they go in my mother's uterus again. Now
there we go again.
Yeah, they better stay away from that.
So back to this original, the thing I said about the Bible and God's word was what was supposed to be respected. Isn't that the ultimate irony that they have taken that which is true and just, which was made by God, and just turned, you know, everything so far from... It's the most ridiculous... I can't wait.
Well, there's an old saying among the people that challenge law, and that is that God can protect you from government, but can government protect you from God?
Now you know
who the supreme lawmaker is and who the ultimate sovereign is.
Yeah, he's
okay,
my daddy.
And the thing that you want to study with what Joyce and I were telling you, pointing you in the right direction, is the law of notice.
I'm going to get my driver's license renewed again here soon because I hope you put
without prejudice above your signature.
Everything you sign, everything they send you to sign, write without prejudice above your signature.
I'm going to do it.
And you should be okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm claiming myself as my own, and I gave myself to God, my Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. So,
well, what's wrong with what's wrong with protecting your rights?
Well, no, I'm saying I'm doing it because of that. That's why
I understand that, but everybody argues with me and tells me, nah, I don't want to do that. Well,
oh, no, I'm going to do it, Peter.
She's not arguing with you, Peter. Don't make an argument with
the
reason one.
They don't.
I know.
All right. Hey, Melissa, I thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, you take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Jim?
You know, I taught my children to write without prejudice above their name, even on their schoolwork when they were in first grade. I said, write that above your name. Everything you sign, write that above your name. Get in the habit of doing it when you're a child, so that by the time you're an adult, you understand what you're doing it for and why, you know, why you're doing it. And if everything you've ever signed has that on there, you're home free. You're clear.
Jim in Florida. I lost my place here. Hello,
Jim. Good afternoon. How are we doing today?
Hi.
Good. Couple of things for Rodney when he was talking about, you know, going into court. And
are you still paying your credit cards and so-called...
God with him. There's an old saying about, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, which means if you're going into a Roman court, you better know their laws and their customs. You can't go in there with Viking law and Viking customs. Doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm a retired police officer from Miami.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, I don't care if seatbelts is a law or it isn't a law. I've witnessed enough accidents and seen the good the seatbelts do.
I won't argue that.
I wear them religiously.
I won't argue that.
That and those child seats that they, you know, put their little babies in.
Yeah.
Those have saved so many lives you can't imagine. That's not really what I called about. Many years ago, I was doing some research, and I happened to run across, and maybe Joyce and T have run across this. You were talking about the birth canal, you know, entry.
Yes.
Right.
I remember something, reading something about the federal government had proclaimed or adjudicated or somehow. It's one of those things when you're doing research and you run across it and you say, well, I'll look at that later, and then you can forget about it. That they had proclaimed that all hospitals were ports of entry. And, you know, that's one of the ways that they, and the fact that Social Security numbers
you could say that about all women.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but
I said that for a laugh. I wanted everybody to laugh.
Well, okay.
We're just not used to you, Peter.
I have something better for you.
What's that?
There was a law that said you couldn't bring a baby out of the hospital until you had applied for the Social Security number.
Yeah.
When my child was born. Well, I decided I wanted my child to be free and he could make his own decision when he became an adult. And they wouldn't let me out of the hospital. So I picked up the phone, called the police, told them I was being held hostage. Please come and get me out.
What happened?
The police came to the hospital and said, this woman called and said she's being held hostage. And they didn't know what to do. They said, oh no, she can go home anytime she wants. I said, thank you, I'm going home right now. And I'm going to leave with the police officer. I gathered up my baby, my belongings, and I left.
Yeah. Jim, let me get back.
Joyce, do this. Don't give your baby a name until after you leave the police, hospital. If they don't have a name, they cannot attach a number to it.
Well, not only that, it was a male child. I'm Jewish. And under Jewish law, my child didn't come into existence until his circumcision. And that's
okay,
a religious ceremony I had in the house, so I got away with not signing the birth certificate, not doing anything, because he was not yet named. Like you said, he was not yet named.
Well, that's all well and good, but I believe Day Champion researched this. If you do not give them a name for a baby, they cannot assign a Social Security number to it.
Not only that, but they can't turn it into a fiction if they don't have a name either. They have their last person to convert.
Jim,
I didn't register him yet.
Yeah,
he's unregistered.
Jim, your issue here, your initial statements here about the child seats and the seat belts, I won't disagree with you. But you know what? I will take this exception with it, is that should be an individual decision. Now, this is mandated. and they have penalties. If you're caught not wearing the seatbelt, you know the drill, that you can be fined up to X number of hundreds of dollars for not wearing your seatbelt. Well, and that is somebody's idea of safety that they're enforcing on you, kind of like they did with insurance. Everybody, you know, I can't take financial responsibility. I've got to have insurance. I've got to have an insurance card, and specifically covering and spelling out exactly what's covered and how much and this, that, and the other. You know, turn signals are, that's mandated. You come to a stop, you're going to make a left or a right, you got to use your turn signal. You use your turn signal when you move in and out of lanes. That's, you know, that's common sense. I always use my turn signals. A lot of people do not, but I do it as a matter of courtesy and respect to other drivers. The problem I have with the seatbelt issue is this is the government mandating that you do something in compliance with, and if not, well, then we'll get our shiny badges out and our guns, and we're going to... Yeah, the same argument can be made, and I heard this argument, and I know you have as well, about tasering people. That, you know, well, we don't want to get out our batons, the retractable, the old wooden kind, or some cops used to carry the little lead-weighted smacker-uppers. You know, that you don't necessarily have to get in there and risk injury to yourself, mixing it up with a potential perpetrator of some crime, that it's just easier to use the taser and disable them for their safety as well as ours, so we can cuff them, put them in the car, and then drive them off to the hooscow. I don't see the validity of that argument.
Because let me tell you something, John. I don't know how I ever came up with this, but my husband's truck was, he hit a deer, and he totaled the front of the car. Now, when you just sit down and think about it, in order to kill a deer, you have to get a license because the state says the deer belong to the state.
That's right. That's why you can't haul off the dead deer. They'll never let you take it.
That's right. So what I did was I notified the state that their property injured my car, and that they had to be responsible for whatever financial responsibility the insurance didn't cover.
You made them take responsibility for that errant deer that got in your way.
You got it. They sent me a check. They paid for the balance of what the insurance didn't pay for the repair of the truck.
Way to go.
You tell me, who in their right mind would do something like that other than me?
Well, Jim, anything else, sir?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, but let me tell you something.
Mm.
That law about seatbelts and baby things, that got instituted into the states because of the insurance companies. They were the ones behind it.
Understood. Understood.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Well, I also said to the state, if I have to turn my car over to you and you own it, then you should pay all the insurance. Why should I insure something I don't own?
Don't get too logical on them. You'll cause catatonic brain fart, and they might lock up and just have to go away.
I know, but it was some real interesting letters went up and back in the mail.
I bet there was. Hey, Peter Neese, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
All righty, thank you, Joyce. Rosenwald, I appreciate this very much. I'll see you guys next Wednesday, I hope. I may not be back in time to do Wednesday's program. We'll have to figure this out on the fly, but I will definitely give you guys a call and let you know what's up.
Well, read what I sent you because you'll find it really interesting.
All right, and we didn't get around to what we were supposed to get around to. We'll try to do that next Wednesday.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it very much. Over and out, and I'll rejoin you as soon as I can.
Next round of the worst financial crisis in 100.